Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, it's now been a year since the general election, and it feels like an appropriate time to look back over the last 12 months and see how this new government has fared, to chat about some of the key political highlights and perhaps lowlights over that period. I'm now joined by journalist, broadcaster and commentator Alison O'Connor and political reporter with the Irish Examiner, Tadhg McAnally. You're both very welcome to the programme. I say, and I made a point of saying, it is a new government, because after a general election, you would hope that there is a new posse, a new energy in the government. Is there, Alison?
Well, I think that's, you've kind of got to the heart of their problem, really, that we haven't got that sense. It has felt quite kind of underwhelming in lots of ways. It didn't get off to a great start with the row over speaking time, a vote of no confidence in Verona Murphy, the Ciarán Cóirle, Micheál Martin not getting to be appointed. I mean, when you look back on all of that time now, it almost seems slightly surreal, but it did happen. And it ended up in unifying, giving a common purpose and a unity to the parties of the left. And we saw that culminating in the backing of Catherine Connolly, the recent presidential election. And I suppose one of the big questions out of the year is where does that go in the future?
But I suppose it gave them a certain confidence about what they could achieve if they unified.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. But I think from the government's point of view, their main problem now, I mean, they certainly are attempting to do a number of things, but you're left, and it gets back to what you were saying, that they're there so long and you have that sense that it's the same faces, you know, the same people making decisions or not making decisions or not executing decisions, particularly in relation to, we'll say, housing, that can they get anything done? That's really the sense that you're think, okay, you people, I think, don't feel very hopeful. And the problem for the government is that the things that they're trying to solve, for instance, like housing, it takes time. But they do have another 4 years. That's the advantage for them.
Yeah, but that sort of energy that you would expect from a new government after a general election, we don't feel we've seen that. It all feels a little flat.
Flat. There certainly is not any fizz, Ciara, that's for sure.
And what do you think, Tadhg, was the long-term consequences of that speaking rights row?
Well, I mean, like, it took all the energy out of the government at the get-go. I mean, like, we saw essentially no legislation passed because of it for 3 months. You know, the only piece of legislation I think that was passed until April was a bill to increase the number of junior ministers, which was obviously ridiculed at the time by the opposition. You know, I think the row, you know, and it is hard to believe that it was less than a year ago that we were all talking about, you know, the intricate minutiae of Dáil speaking rights and how the chamber works, you know, and I'm glad that we're now beyond that, because it was quite tedious. I mean, like, it lasted for months, you know, and it, again, like Alison said, it culminated in a no confidence motion in the Ciarán Cóirle in what was a completely bizarre and unprecedented event. But, you know, I think...
But did people understand it, do you think? Did the public understand it at the time? I think the public could understand the fury that the opposition felt?
I think initially they did, because it was kind of seen to be a bit of a stroke by the regional independence. And that's what it appeared to be, you know. And I think people saw that, you know, giving speaking rights to what were essentially government backbenchers from the opposition's time. I mean, I think that was, you know, at the time it was an absurd idea. But I think, you know, by the time that we got to the Ciarán Cóirle's, the no confidence motion in the Ciarán Cóirle, people had just moved on. You know, people had expected the government to get out and do the work of governing. You know, we did have those unedifying scenes in the Dáil twice. The first occasion when Micheál Martin was unable to be made Taoiseach, and then the second occasion where, you know, Michael Lowry put the two fingers up and the opposition shut down and the Dáil the Dáil was suspended again. I mean, like, you know, those were completely unprecedented scenes in the Dáil that we'd never seen before. I know, I think, but by that stage, I think people were fed up of the kind of the row.
It went on too long.
It went on for three. Like,
we
three
needed a conclusion. Well, it was always going to have to come to a conclusion.
The other interesting
and a
thing about that row, you know, where you're talking that it was at the start of the government's sort of tenure that happened. Where it was really the start of Micheál Martin's difficulties as well. I think overall surprise that he had gone on hands with Michael Lowry in the first place, you know, given his political experience and given, you know, what was in Michael Lowry's political past. And it's you know, it hasn't really been great for him since then. And we see that in the outturn of the presidential election. The selection of Jim Gavin as the Fianna Fáil candidate. They're waiting for this report now. You even see the pressure that he's been under the last few days, people saying that he's been
out of the country too often.
Travelling, which in lots of ways is an absolute nonsense. You know what I mean? He is the leader of the country. It's important that he goes to these things. Like, it is a nonsense, but it's the kind of thing that happens when your opposition, be that outside your party or within the party, once there's blood smelt or there's a sense of vulnerability there.
So do you think that is now where the problem is? Is it having somebody who is under pressure, who seems to be almost engaging in controversy from the very outset of the government, leading the government? Yeah. I mean, if he moved on, do you think we would have a different government? Or is there a lack of energy and a lack of ideas because so many other people within government have simply been there too long?
Well, I mean, you fit a good point in that sense of that a leader that's under pressure and maybe feeling insecure is not necessarily the strongest of leaders in terms of trying to make decisions and to get them done. But it was put to me last week or the week before when we had the shock news about Pascal Donoghue going off to the World Bank, that in a way this slightly strengthened Micheál Martin's position because it was such a discombobulating thing for the government, and I think it will be into the future for Pascal Donoghue to be gone. He was such an experienced hand, a steadying hand, that Micheál Martin also has that reputation of being, you know, he's there a long time, of knowing the ropes. Only time will tell on that. And really, until this report, I think they've been clever enough. Now, we know what circumstances the report has been delayed in that in ways it's a way of letting air out of the balloon. But it is a festering sore, you know, so we can't really tell until until the report comes out. Your question was whether a new leader would. Of course, a new leader would change the dynamic. But basically, we've been told by people are saying internally off the record that they're not getting the sense from the most likely successor, Jim O'Callaghan. They're not getting the sense that Jim is ready to go now.
I just think what might end up happening here is, and that's the sense I'm getting from some of the backbench rebels, is that, you know, Micheál Martin is likely to remain on for the next little while, at least until after the Ireland finishes its European presidency at the end of next year, you know, and then there might be a position put in place to where, you know, he might depart the stage and then, you know, Jim O'Callaghan takes over. Because I think there is an aspect as well. I think Jim O'Callaghan wants to stay in justice for a little bit longer. I mean, he's only been there for, you know, not even a year at this stage, you know,
and a lot of people feel that he's really made an impact.
Yeah, I mean, like we are seeing, you know, quite a lot of memos and changes in that area. You know, we just saw this week with the changes to the asylum and migration rules here, you know, around family reunification and making, you know, asylum seekers who are in the IP system pay for their accommodation if they're working. You know, in a year's time, maybe he'll be better placed to take over as the party leader and then become Taoiseach for a year before Simon Harris then takes over.
How do you really assess that major shift in their attitudes towards immigration, Alison? Because 2 years ago, there's not a hope those changes which he introduced this week would have even been countenanced or debated by government, never mind brought in and fully supported.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But I also agree that if Jim O'Callaghan does manage to, as Tiger's alluding to there, to kind of carry this off, and he's been a very steady hand on it. And I think one of the things they really like about him, and that shows that he's even when he's under kind of intense questioning from the media, I think you see the barrister in him, that he's well able for it. He's pretty cool and calm. That it's, in a way, the government is in many ways responding to what they've seen around the rest of Europe, where a lot of governments recognised that their populations were saying, there's too much immigration, we don't want it. It's also a response to the idea that you have to do this because you're responding to the right-wing threat, that it's a trade-off between maybe having to take a tougher stance on immigration than maybe certain people or parties might wish, but that if you don't, you are ceding more ground to the far right. Now, that is particularly, that to me is going to be very interesting with the left-wing parties, because there is a difference between, we'll say, Sinn Féin, the Sock Dems, Labour, on immigration, and whether they're able to, we'll say, whether the Sock Dems and Labour are able to take a more pragmatic approach to that, which would bring them closer to Sinn Féin. Well, now that remains to be seen. Yeah. But I just think the real politic of it is that if you were to do an opinion poll in the morning and say, do you agree with what the government is proposing? I'm afraid it would be pretty positive.
Let's look at one of the other big moves in government, which was, of course, Pascal Donoghue leaving, which opened up the Department of Finance, and then the decision by Simon Harris to move away from Foreign Affairs and Defence and take up that role. What is the expectation of Simon Harris now, do you think? And how could him being so much closer to home and being in that central role in government change things?
Oh, totally. I think this changes the dynamic of government completely. I mean, like, the power balance is slightly different now. I mean, usually what there was kind of a core kind of four there, you know, it would have been Micheál Martin, Simon Harris, Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers. They are the kind of main four who would be, you know, dealing in the budget matters on a regular basis, you know. Now that power balance has shifted now, where Simon Harris takes on the role of finance minister and Micheál Martin and Jack Chambers are in a kind of a weirder position there. I think the Indo, whenever Simon took up the role last week, they described it as a bit of a power grab from him. Now, it does put him, but also he is the longest serving Fine Gael cabinet minister now. I mean, Pascal Donoghue was the previous. But it's hard to see where the next steps are. I mean, like, he's in a stage now where he has a lot of time to prepare the next budget. He's not being landed in, you know, 3 months beforehand. You know, I mean, I think that's something similar happened whenever Jack Chambers took up the finance role in the previous government. He wasn't landed in with a tiny amount of time, but he was heading into, you know, the real busy time whenever the budget is being prepared. Simon Harris has a year essentially to get his feet under the desk and get a budget prepared. But there are also, like, kind of immediate things on the horizon, the medium term fiscal framework, which is, you know, very, very, very delayed. We were expecting it over the summer months, and now there's talk about it being delivered before the end of the year. We'll see. You know, but it'll be an interesting shift for the coalition, certainly.
All right, look, we're going to have to leave that conversation there for now. We could have gone on for longer, but we'll certainly be doing another review of this government. Maybe by the summer, we'll give them another 6 months, and then we'll come back in again. Alison O'Connor and Tadhg McNally, thanks for joining us on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25.